Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Denny Long returns next week on the program. He's taken a couple of weeks off here in August ahead of the fair. We're pleased to be joined by Mary Meyer from the U of M here in studio. And Mary, good to see you. I saw you in July on the program.
Yes, great to be here, Steve. Thanks for having us again. Wonderful to see the fruits of all our labors now in the garden. Things are really growing, and most people are harvesting this time of year from their vegetable gardens.
Yeah, peppers, cukes, tomatoes,
zucchini, always a lot of zucchini.
That's right. I had trouble with zucchini, and maybe I told you about this on a program, but I had those flies that kind of got in and damaged the stems and the zucchini.
Oh,
went
the
bad.
Squash vine borer.
So I gave up on those a couple of years ago, so I don't grow zucchini anymore. I didn't want to use all sorts of chemicals and that sort of thing. Is that common?
Yeah, the squash zucchini? Vine borer is a big problem, especially with zucchini. One way you can get around that is if you can plant it right away as soon as danger frost is gone. But if you wait a little bit later, you can actually miss the first life cycle of that insect, and there's still plenty of time to get zucchini. So if you wait until about mid-June to plant it, 2-3 weeks later than we normally would, you can often miss the life cycle of the insect. So that's one way. The other way is if you inspect the base of the vine, sometimes you can find that borer. It's a big larva-like caterpillar, and you can remove that, cover it up with soil, and sometimes the plants will recover.
I will try in 2020. Yeah, I will give that a go because everyone in the family loves zucchini. By the way, our phone number and text number is the same now, 651-989-9226. We invite your calls. Smart Garden underway. Mary Meyer in studio. And we should point out, gorgeous weather this morning. Great weather day today. And it's a big day at the Arboretum.
Yes, the Arboretum is having their Art in the Garden. It's a wonderful all-day event you can go to. It's free with Arboretum admission. Plenty of vendors there. Lots of different types of art, things you can use in the garden, things you can use in your home. Also, free live music this afternoon. So check that out. Go to the arboretum.umn.edu website. You can find all the details about that.
And if you have never been to the Arboretum, do yourself a favor. It is one of the great local treasures.
Oh, it's beautiful. The The flowers are really spectacular. The annuals, we are using bright colors this year, so bright reds, yellows, oranges, and those really pop. So they're very, very showy. And right now, I think the annuals are about at their peak, the things that we plant seasonally every year. Many roses still blooming. Oh, the hydrangeas. We get a lot of questions, as you know, Steve, about hydrangeas. And we have hydrangea trials out there, so you can walk through the trials and pick out your favorite ones. So there's so many things to see at the Arboretum. Great place to take a walk.
And it is all seasons, whether it's the summer, seasons, the autumn, right. Winter, the Arboretum is just tremendous and one of the greats in the country. And I know it won a big award recently.
Yes, most popular, favorite arboretum, favorite botanic garden in the United States from the USA Today votes. So that's very nice.
Yeah, right. Just a wonderful spot, and so much great staff, and so many volunteers make the Arboretum work.
Yes, we have hundreds of volunteers, many plant societies of volunteer out there as well, so great asset in our community. That's right.
All right, big part of the show, your calls and texts, and without further ado, let's go to the phone lines. By the way, the number, keep this handy for all our programs, 651-989-9226, and that's good for a call or a text. 651-989-9226. Let's go to Ken and Blaine. Ken, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning. I have a question concerning vining flowers like trumpet vine and the honeysuckle vine. And then I also have bittersweet, which is going crazy. But all these vining plants this year seem to be just, I don't know, they're just going crazy as far as spreading, and I'm not quite sure what to do. I have a trumpet vine that I had a hard time getting it going several years ago, and all of a sudden it's, you know, started blooming, and now I've got it coming up practically everywhere. And the same with the bittersweet vine.
Well, we've had great growing conditions, Ken, for many plants, especially perennial plants that are well established. And these vines, we've just had great growing conditions, a lot of rain, good temperatures. So many plants have huge amounts of new growth this year. The three plants you're talking about, actually quite different. Bittersweet, there's Oriental and our native bittersweet. There's probably have the Dropmore honeysuckle vine, and then the trumpet vine. These are all quite different, but they all have blooms in the summer. And because they're so vigorous, you probably are not going to damage them by pruning them. I think early spring is actually a good time to do the pruning, but you can do it right now as well. If you have heavy growth, all three of these can get so aggressive that if you don't prune them, they'll take over an area. They can take over a structure for sure. So you could prune them right now without worrying about damaging the plants.
To the phones again, let's go to Ed in Worthington. Ed, hello.
Hello. Got a question on Brussels sprouts. Are you to take the bottom leaves off of the plant? I don't see any Brussels sprouts on there yet.
I don't do that when I grow Brussels sprouts. The more leaves on there, the more photosynthesis, the more sugars you'll get for the plant itself. You don't have to take them off. I know some people do that. I saw some Brussels sprouts growing in community gardens this week, and they were just starting to form at the base of the leaves. They do take our full growing season, and so it's actually, you know, they can even take some frost. So it can be well into September, even October, when you do harvest them. So for now, I would just leave the leaves on. Some of those might get yellow and almost fall off on their own as the Brussels sprout develops and grows.
Great call. I love Brussels sprouts. And those kind of reappeared on restaurant menus in recent years.
Yeah.
You know, I love sprouts.
Popular. I think part of it is people are roasting them. So
right,
roasting them,
correct.
They're so sweet and good.
Yeah,
right.
Excellent. Very popular. Generally, are they hard to grow?
No, they're not hard. They just take a long time. So right now, people are probably wondering, gee, are they going to form? Because first, the big plant has to grow, and then each little head grows at the base of the leaf. So it does take our whole growing season.
So you got to hang in there well into September.
You
got to
hang
sprouts.
In there. The problem I had with our community garden was we would close the community garden closed October 15th. And the sprouts were bare, you know, I could have left them in there because they will tolerate the frost. So if you have your own garden, then you can harvest whenever you want. You can harvest a few at a time. You don't have to pull up the whole plant.
651-989-9226, 651-989-9226, our Smart Gardens program. Mary Meyer in studio today. We have, as you might expect, a lot of calls. Let's go to Mary in New Prague. Mary, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, I planted strawberries this spring. They're ever-bearing. And they had a few blossoms in the spring, and you're told to pick them off so you get runners, and which I did. Now I've got hundreds of runners and no blossoms. Usually they bear twice a year, and they just got so many runners on them, but not one blossom. So I was wondering if what could that be?
Well, I think you just have to be patient, Mary. As long as they're in full sun, it sounds to me like they are because they're growing so well. But I think because they're new, younger plants, they won't give you as many berries this very first year. So I would consider having a soil test done to see if you need to add nutrients in your soil. Otherwise, you can go to our extension.umn.edu website and read about the management practices for strawberries. Strawberries and apples are favorite fruits of ours, but they are big time-consuming, labor-intensive fruits. So you could maybe do some more pruning on those. Consider getting a soil test, and then hopefully next year you'll have a better yield, simply because the plants will be more established.
Quick break. We have more with Mary Meyer. It is our Smart Garden Show here on a Saturday at CCO. The phone number again and the text number, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. It is our Smart Garden Show every Saturday morning between 8 and 9. Mary Meyer in studio today. A big day at the Arboretum today. We'll tell you more about that again a little bit later on in the program. We have so many calls and so many texts. First call up, Roger and Ramsey. Roger, you're on the air. Hello. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Mary. I have a problem with my lawn. I have tan flies coming out of the grass, and I'm told that I have sod webworm, and I've had it for the past couple of years in July and August. Could you tell me how to treat that and what would be the timing of the treatment?
Well, it is possible you have sod webworms. They are small moths that you can see when you walk through the lawn. Their wings go right behind their body, so their wings are not held outward. So it's a long, thin moth when it's not in flight. But Roger, you didn't talk about any brown on your lawn, so that's when things get bad. The larvae especially eat the lawn, and normally, if you got that much of a problem, you would see brown grass. So if you just see the insects, yeah, there are a few around, but I'm not sure that you really need to use a pesticide to kill them, because that is rare, especially for a homeowner situation in Minnesota. So you can go to a garden center and you can buy product that's in an insecticide for sod webworms for your lawn. Many states in the United States have a much bigger problem with this than we do, especially in the South. But for most homeowners in Minnesota, pesticide application is usually not necessary. So seeing a few is okay. If your lawn is not brown, I wouldn't worry about treating it.
We have a lot of texts today about turf and lawn care, and we're going to try and roll some of these into a little bit of a chat about turf. One popular one, is now a good time to do the core aeration too?
Yes. Yeah, so we have just passed our peak date of lawn maintenance, so August 15th to September 15th. So we're in the month now for prime lawn maintenance. So aeration, reseeding, renovation of lawns, this is our best time to do it. This is when the grasses will grow their best, and weeds are declining. Annual weeds certainly are declining, and it's a good time when the grass can get a head start. The next 2 weeks on the show at the fair, now both dates right coming up, we will have our turf guys with us. So John Trappi and then Eric Watkins, our turf specialists from the U, will be at the fair for both those events. But so we'll be talking lawns. So this is a great time to do aeration and renovation.
Yeah, and maybe take out those areas, particularly along driveways or curbs where there are a lot of weeds, to get those weeds out, maybe put in some new soil and seed.
Yes, you can do that now, right? There are lots of different seed mixes you can get at garden centers. I like the fine fescues, which are usually sold as the shady grass mixes. They will do well in sun as well, but they are the low maintenance, low water requirements. Yeah. Speaking of water, has anyone turned on their sprinklers this year? Well, a lot of people have not because we've had so much rain that natural rainfall. It's unusual to have conditions like this, especially through July.
And it looks like we might see some rain overnight again tonight.
So it's been wonderful growing conditions from Mother Nature. I know farmers would not agree with that because of the late start they got, but once plants got in the soil, it's been an amazing year.
To the phone lines we go here in our Smart Garden Show on a Saturday at CCO. Let's go to John in Lionel Lakes. John, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning. We moved into our home about 10 years ago, and we had hydrangeas in the front. And I cut them back several times, and they flowered beautifully the first year. But after I cut them back, which I think was a mistake, we only get flowers on the bottom of the plant each year. They grow beautifully, but no flowers. What do I have to do to get these things to flower again? Thank you.
John, I think what you have is the species of hydrangea called the macrophylla, big leaf. This is the endless summer hydrangea type. This is a shorter hydrangea, and you're right, it's the one that's harder for us to grow and harder for it to bloom. It's that species of hydrangea. Now, there are two other kinds of hydrangea. There's the Annabelle, which is a little bit taller, 4 feet or so. You'll never have a problem with that blooming. That will bloom really well for you. And then there's the Paniculata, which is a bigger one, you know, 5, 7, even 10, 12 feet tall, more of a small tree, like big shrub, small tree. That will bloom consistently for you also. So the Annabelle types and the Paniculata types, they bloom on the current season's wood that will shoot out in the spring and then have those flowers on it. But the macrophylla, the short one with the big leaves, is very picky about flowering. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. Don't prune that one again. And then if you don't like how it's flowering, consider getting an Annabelle or a Paniculata, which are the bigger ones. So again, if you go to the Arboretum or a garden center, you'll see all three of these kinds there. And it's really a matter of what kind do you have.
Quick break. We'll have an update on the weather, and then we'll go to the phones. Barb and Jim will have more on the text line. Here is the number for calls or texts, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226 here on the CCO. 8:34 on a Saturday morning. It is our Smart Garden Show. Mary Meyer in studio today. Let's go to the phone lines. It's been a very busy day of phones and texts at 651-989-9226. Let's go to Jim in Maple Grove. Jim, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, good morning. I'm calling about a crimson maple in our yard. It has great shape, other than it has a shoot on the very top of it that is probably 5 or 6 feet taller than anything else. And I'm wondering if I can prune that, and if I should, when I should, can I do that without any harming the shape of the tree at all?
Yes, you can prune that off, Jim. Those Crimson King maples, they're going to grow and be quite prolific. They've had a good growing season. Yeah, you can go up and take off that one shoot, no problem. You could do that right now. That's not a major pruning event. Major pruning we don't particularly like to do this time of year. You can always do it in the dead of winter. That's the ideal time for pruning, but you can take that off now.
What about fertilizing in general? Turf, gardens, other plants in your landscape. Is now a good time to put down some fertilizer?
Now is a great time for lawns. So okay. The lawns around Labor Day, we always think is a really prime time for fertilizing lawns. Otherwise, probably not really a good time. Trees are not limited by fertilizer. Usually that's not a limiting factor for trees. And most of our plants with a vegetable garden and so on are past the point of needing much fertilizer at this point. So I would just think about it for lawns. If you're in doubt, always get a soil test, and at extension.umn.edu, the directions are there.
To Barb in Grantsburg. Barb, you're on the air. Hello.
I'm calling regards of a flower I have here, and it's white right now, and it's got the big leaves and everything on it, but and now I just got the white big white flower coming. Can you tell me on what's going on with that, or?
So are you interested in what kind of flower it is, Barb?
It's a white one. It's
But you want an ID on the plant.
Yeah.
All right. How do people do that, Mary, if they're not sure what's in their landscape?
The best way is to take a picture of it now with your phone. Take a picture of it, and you can go to the Ask a Master Gardener. That's our online email service through Extension, and that's up at extension.umn.edu, and ask a gardening question. You can easily send a picture in there and have an ID done. I think that's the best way to do it, Barb. At this point, also, you know, is this something you planted, somebody else planted? Is this something that you found by the roadside? So the location is helpful also, the height, and then the flowering time. But a picture should get you a good ID.
Yeah, and the old saying, a picture's worth a thousand words.
Right.
Can tell a lot from that. Carl in St. Cloud. Carl, you're on our Smart Garden Show. Good morning.
And good morning, Mary. I've got a problem with got my honeysuckle at mildews every year. I mean, it really gets really bad mildew. And I'm wondering, you know, I have 13 hydrangeas of 10 different species around my house. I wonder if I could try a climbing hydrangea.
Yes, you can try a climbing hydrangea. Now, St. Cloud is getting kind of iffy. I planted a climbing hydrangea. It's one of my favorite plants. It's a little tough to get it established, but it is hardy here in Zone 4. But I have it in a pretty protected location on the north side of my house. And a climbing hydrangea has to have something to climb on. So it's going to die if there's nothing there. And it climbs by a flat surface. So you have to have a flat surface. So you put it up against a wall where it can adhere to that wall. This is not a real aggressive vine. So my concern is getting it established. Probably yours will be too, rather than any damage to the side of your house or anything. But it will not twine. You can't put up a trellis or something. It's got to be a flat surface. It will not grow unless it can adhere to a flat surface.
From our text line, cucumbers have done great this year, seeing a lot of cucumbers. But now I'm starting to see yellow leaves. Is that normal?
It is normal, especially the older leaves on the plants, the one that are closest to the base or the ground, those will start to yellow as the plant matures. And yes, they, you know, as the cucumber develops, that fruit and the hormones produced by the fruit are senescent signals to the whole vine. So it's like, okay, I've done my job. I've produced the fruit and shut off and really start for the whole plant to decline. So keep picking all your cucumbers, squashes, and so on. That will encourage the vine to continue to put out more flowers.
Yeah, it's been an amazing year for cucumbers. They just amaze me. Whenever I plant these little tiny cukes, you know, it's the plants at the beginning of the season, and now it's like, my, boom. Oh, my.
Yes, and they really grow overnight. They just boom overnight.
Yeah, just an amazing plant. One of my favorites for sure. Japanese beetles from our text line are eating my trees. Is there anything I can do at this point?
Well, trees, that's tough. Japanese beetles are not as big a problem this year as they have been other years. And that's really wonderful for us. So then they're not as many. They will do some damage, but they're nowhere near as bad as borers are. There are a lot of other insects that are worse. The recommendation we have is really hand picking them off. And of course, for a tree, that's not very practical. Traps are not a good idea. They will bring in lots of beetles. You will get more beetles if you have traps.
And you had mentioned, though, Mary, that by all reports, though, this has been a pretty good year in general for Japanese beetles.
It is. It is. They were later coming out, and we're seeing fewer. We've got a great publication on their whole life cycle and the control methods at extension.umn.edu. Just click on garden and then search for Japanese beetles.
Here's one from our text line. Why hadn't my wisteria bloomed yet this year? Lots of growth, no blooms. The plant's about 6 years old.
Good question. So wisteria, again, a huge, big, vigorous vine. You have to be careful really where you put that vine. It can get, even in Minnesota, can get large, the hardy kinds. So I would consider a soil test. The plant has to be in full sud, and then I'd consider pruning it to encourage the new growth. And I wouldn't prune it now, though. I'd do the pruning real early in the springtime. But also, you can read up on our website about wisteria. But that, 6 years old, it should start flowering now. If it's not in full sun, that could be something you might consider moving it to a full sun location.
Back to core aeration on turf. We had a couple more texts come in. Number one, is there anything I need to do to the lawn before I have core aeration done? Do I need to cut it shorter? And then can I mow and do normal stuff on the turf afterwards?
Yes. Yeah, I would consider mowing it before you do the aeration. I would not mow it shorter. I would keep it to a 3 inches and then do the aeration. And then I would let the cores, give the cores a few days, if possible, to dry out a little. But then you can go ahead and mow again afterwards, right?
And just let those cores break down and go back into the soil.
Right. Yep. That's exactly right.
They don't need to be raked or gathered up. I think the only place they do that is on a golf course on greens that they'll pick up the cores.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
But yeah, they do that. They have a whole procedure with the greens. But on your lawn, no, that should be fine.
Yeah, just let them lay. By the way, our phone number and our text number is 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. And the turf calls are picking up because it is prime time, as you mentioned earlier in the program. Tim and Lake Elmo. Tim, you're on the air. Hello.
Thank you. Question. Along the sidewalk up to a chapel, about 3 inches off the sidewalk, everything dies in the spring because of the use of salt. And the only thing that grows there is crabgrass. Is there a type of grass seed that's tolerant to salt?
There is, Tim. There are salt-tolerant grass species. But I'm wondering if you might want to consider planting hosta there, and just have a border of hosta along the sidewalk, because hosta will grow in conditions like that. And I've seen that along driveways and along other sidewalks. So hosta, lily of the valley, that's an aggressive ground cover. You really might want to consider using a totally different plant there. But you can look for those salt-tolerant grasses. They look a little bit different, and I'm not sure you're going to be happy with how they look. And they're sometimes harder to get established. But we have done some work with that, our turf specialists with the Department of Transportation. If you go to the turf grass website, which is linked again on extension.umn.edu, you can read about the results of salt-tolerant turf grass and the trials that were done.
On a lovely August day, I don't want to think about salt and snow and ice, but it is certainly reality. Let's go to Kathy in Ham Lake. Kathy, you're on the air with Mary Meyer. Hello.
Yes, good morning. I'm wondering about all the hype on this plantain weed that grows in everybody's yard. It comes up particularly well, like between the cracks in your sidewalk. It's a leafy thing with these sprouts that come out. What I've read, it is that it is used for many medicinal purposes, that it can be used for bug bites, or you can make it into an herbal tea. Is the U of M doing any work on this? I may have a bumper crop here for them.
Good for you, Kathy. Yes, I think a lot of us have this plantain. So there's two kinds of plantain, the narrow leaf one, which is a narrow leaf. It's kind of like one or two of your fingers and longer, much longer than it is wide. And then there's the more common broadleaf plantain, which is a very coarse plant, a basal rosette that grows in a lot of lawns and compacted soils. This actually came up this week when I was working and one of my colleagues was stung by yellow jackets. We found a yellow jacket nest in the mulch in the grass collection where we were working. And one of our other colleagues said, oh, find the plantain. Eat it. He said, you can chew on the plantain, or you can brush it onto your skin. So I know jewelweed is a common remedy for poison ivy. I've used that myself. I haven't used plantain much, but we do find that in a lot of the Native American teachings. And it's harmless as far as I know. The university is not doing any work on it, but it is reported to have especially a good treatment for insect bites and poison ivy.
Creeping Charlie on the text line. There's a number of Creeping Charlie. It's sort of a little game for me. I just go out and let the Creeping Charlie get big and pick it out of the ground. That's how I deal with it. But is there a good way to control?
This is, again, the prime time of year for controlling ground ivy or Creeping Charlie. It's kind of not growing as aggressively right now. it's what, on a scale of 1 to 10, we're down to maybe 5 or 6, where in the springtime it's up to 8 and 10 in its growing vigor. So you have a better chance of controlling it. And there are specific broadleaf weed killers for Creeping Charlie. Triclopyr is one that works well. But read the label. Make sure that you're following the label directions in applying it, especially now with the summer and the weather conditions. A lot of herbicides are sensitive to too cool or too hot conditions and their ability to function.
But is pulling it okay, or will it just grow back?
It's very easily grows back, and it's hard to get all the roots. But I certainly do a lot of pulling it around my garden beds and so on. Yes.
So it's like a dandelion. If you don't get the whole root,
thing,
it's coming back.
That's right.
All right, quick break. We have more on our Smart Garden Show. Mary Meyer in studio today. Our phone number and text number is the same, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226, here on the CCO. It is our Smart Garden Show. Mary Meyer in studio today. And by the way, a great day it will be. Highs in the 80s, sunny skies right now. 64. Let's go to the phones. Kevin in Chaska, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning. I would like to ask about dethatching. How often and what time of year?
This is the time of year to do dethatching on your lawn. How often really depends on what type of turf grass that you have. So if you have the traditional Kentucky bluegrass, especially elite Kentucky bluegrasses, those can take dethatching once they're established. And I would say maybe every 3 years if your lawn is thatchy, if you've got a lot of thatch. The species of grass determines how much thatch you've got there. And if you've got a lot of thatch, you can actually cut down into the soil and see if you have a layer of undecomposed organic matter on the surface of the soil. That is what thatch is. And then you can, again, rent a dethatcher, or aeration helps with that as well.
To Mark in Hudson. Mark, you're on the air. Hello.
I have a question about growing hops. We have a big hops trellis with 150 plants. The plants are flowering nicely. We're getting ready for harvest. The plants have a light green yellow color. What causes light green yellow color in hops?
It might be the variety that you have, just the fact that that's as the plant is aging, it turns yellow. Or it could be nitrogen deficiency. So if everything is looking good, we've had a lot of rain this year. Rain often depletes the nitrogen that's in the soil. So it might be a nitrogen deficiency. But at this point, I would not recommend doing anything other than a soil test to see if you have low nitrogen in your soil. But otherwise, it sounds like you're doing well. You can also look up on extension.umn.edu. We've had a couple of articles on hops. They're relatively easy to grow in Minnesota, but that could give you some additional information.
And with the burgeoning beer, craft yes. brew industry, there is more and more interest in hops.
For sure, right.
Yeah, and it is amazing the huge trellises they grow on.
They're very, very big, yes.
This is an amazing plant for sure. One more from the text line real quickly. Roundup, does it work on, once again, our old friend Creeping Charlie and other weeds?
Yes, Roundup kills everything that's green. So glyphosate, it kills everything that's green. So if you have nothing but Creeping Charlie, you can use it. But if there's any grass in there, that will be killed also. So you have to be careful. Read the directions. Apply it according to label directions. And make sure that you know what you're actually killing.
All right. I have an antique rose bush. I want to transplant it. How do I do it? When should I do that?
I would not try doing that now. The ideal time is early spring, just before it starts to grow. This time of year is most difficult to transplant. If it's a very small plant, maybe you could get away with it, keeping the root system intact as much as possible. But if you can, I'd wait till spring.
All right. Dividing daylilies, hostas, et cetera. Should I wait?
Actually, those tough perennials you can divide anytime. Hosta and daylilies. Daylilies kind of going dormant now after most of them have finished blooming. Cut them back by one half. Dig the hole before you get the plant. Dig the new hole and water well afterwards.
And they should be good to go in 2020. All right, so we're out of time once again. Real quickly, under a minute to go, a big day at the Arboretum.
At the Arboretum, Art in the Garden, a wonderful day to get out there. Always wonderful to see the plants and walk through the Arboretum. And then Art in the Garden is free with admission. And for any garden questions, you can always go to extension.umn.edu, click on Garden.
And Next week, Julie at the fair, and in 2 weeks, you'll be at the fair.
I'll be at the fair. 2 weeks from today, we'll have a cake celebrating 8 years of the Sparked Garden Show with free seeds. So join us at the fair.
It's going to be great. Denny Long returns next week with Julie, and you'll be there with Denny in 2 weeks. We'd love to see you at the fair. Mary, always a pleasure.
Same. Always a pleasure.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With